Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. We're hearing the Jesse Lynch Trio in a performance of the Paul Desmond Dave Brubeck Jazz Classic, Take 5. It's one of the jazz standards featured in the multimedia show Jesse Lynch Jazz 101. The program takes audiences on a journey through the history of jazz, from ragtime to swing to bop to some of Lynch's original contemporary compositions. Jesse Lynch is a New York City-based pianist, composer, and educator. He's in the middle of a 78-city tour, bringing him to Sioux Falls on Saturday and Aberdeen on Sunday. He joins us on the line. And Jesse, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I understand that you're in Anoka, Minnesota, over by the Twin Cities today.
You got it.
And you're seeing quite a bit of the country.
We are seeing a lot of the country. There's not much that we're not seeing.
So, well, this program, Jazz 101, where did the idea come from?
Well, I've been touring through several different groups, touring around the country for quite some time. And I actually put together the idea with our bassist, Joe Michaels. We thought it would be particularly resonant with our audiences to give a little bit more historical and cultural context behind the music itself. So, many people think the music speaks for itself, and it does, but we think it gives a little bit more depth to trace a line through American culture at the same time as our performance.
So part of this is the sort of what went on during the times when some of these styles were produced, like, for example, what might have been happening in the 20s and 30s?
Exactly, yeah. So the show actually starts out, I do a little talk about classical music, and I play a classical number because it turns out the tradition of improvisation has been happening for a long time. It didn't start with jazz. These guys, Chopin, Beethoven, and Bach, they could all just sit down at their instrument and just play. But we're really seeing jazz starting in New Orleans around 1900 with ragtime music, so we kind of kick off the jazz sound with that. And we like to give a little bit of historical, cultural context, as well as cultural slides, and like you said, it's a multimedia presentation, so we're also showing archival footage of jazz performances at the same time.
Is the show for both those who are maybe unfamiliar with jazz, as well as those who love the music and know the history?
I like to think so. We've gotten good responses across the board. I think one of my favorite comments that we're getting from people has to be when they come up and they say, you know, I never liked jazz before. I never considered myself a jazz fan, but I like your show. That's particularly rewarding. And at the same time, we've got people who are jazz fanatics and seems to be a success with them, too.
Well, we've got queued up. This is a little bit of sort of a medley of your program, Jesse Lynch Jazz 101, and it starts off with a little bit of Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag. Little bit of pianist Jesse Lynch from his show Jazz 101, which comes to Sioux Falls Saturday evening and Aberdeen on Sunday, just sort of the early styles of jazz there. Jesse Lynch, how long have you been exploring this history and tradition of jazz? Is this something that's been a part of your life as a musician, going back to maybe when you first started playing the music?
Yeah, very much so. I was always fascinated with the process of improvisation, and I'd say I was probably an improviser even before I was particularly within the jazz, playing within the jazz tradition. Although pretty early, I remember taking jazz history classes at a local summer camp in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. taking those classes and being fascinated. I was probably about 10 or 11 years old and also starting to play in small groups and also big bands just about every summer.
Through that experience playing and all that, that's where you just, like all musicians, you developed your chops, just playing and learning the music?
I think that's the primary way, especially in jazz. And then as I got older, I was more interested in being more active in the development of my craft and started to pursue independent jazz lessons. I ended up going to Oberlin Conservatory, and I studied classical performance, and I also studied jazz, took jazz private lessons at the same time with Dan Wall at Oberlin. So I got a little bit more active about the actual practice aspect of jazz when I got a little older. When I was younger, I was just playing. Hmm.
You mentioned the love of improvisation. What is it about that you really like about playing jazz and being a musician?
It's thrilling. You have to be on at all times. You have to be very alert and aware, and in an ensemble context, it's very intimate, and there's a lot of expression and sensitivity to the other members of the band, which is an aspect that you have in all music, I think. You get that feeling in any kind of ensemble playing, but I think particularly in improvisation, you have the ability to really surprise each other, or, you're taking the other members of your group on a journey. You're taking a journey together, and the audience is there to be part of that. So it's thrilling. It's very exciting.
So how does that work when you're in a trio setting with the bass and the drums and you on the piano? Are you just listening to each other and feeding off what each of you are doing?
Yeah, most of the time we follow a format which tends to be, even though jazz involves improvisation, there's a general format where I might play a melody and then I might take a piano solo first, generally. And then Joe Michaels is a great bassist, and he plays, he might take a bass solo. And then we might feature Matt Smalcolm on drums, and he might take a solo. And so whenever one member is taking a solo, we basically all still have the form of the tune in our heads. So it's a balance between format and freedom, the freedom of improvisation and spontaneity. So when one member is taking a solo, the other members are, we call it comping, and they're kind of taking a back seat and just kind of keeping the time and making subtle interjections, but still highlighting that one player. And whoever that is kind of bounces around. That's the standard way of approaching a jazz tune. And then at the end of the song, we all play the melody together again.
Now, in talking about the whole history of jazz, there's over a century of it now. I'm wondering what the many different jazz traditions, from ragtime, swing, bop, to free jazz, to fusion, what all these different jazz traditions mean to contemporary musicians, particularly in your own music and in your own compositions.
What do those genres mean?
Yeah, do you bring them all together, and do they all have a part to play in what you're in the music that you're creating?
I think so. I think that there are that's one of the things that our show demonstrates, is that you can trace a line from ragtime through the century of music, and when you hear that in context, it makes a little bit more sense. It's not just, oh, suddenly this fusion music was invented and that was a brand new thing, but it's actually still pulling from the traditions in terms of melody, rhythm, and harmony. And there are I think, recognizable aspects of those three factors, which evolve in a natural, organic way from ragtime through each of the genres, and culminating, I think, the contemporary sound is certainly not. It's not just. It doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes from that rich tradition and evolution. Even if it has very contemporary based concepts, and even if it's pulling from maybe not in our show, but a lot of the contemporary jazz music, say you might hear in New York City now, is pulling from so many different styles of music. It's pulling from pop music and sometimes fusion and hip hop, and there's a lot of cross pollination today. I think there is that line of tradition.
Yeah, and looking with all those different traditions and all the different influences in jazz going on right now, whether it's from pop or hip hop, do you think this is a pretty exciting time to be a jazz musician? That this is a thriving, lively music still?
I think so, absolutely. Especially in certain places. I think in New York City, it's a very great living jazz city. That was the feeling I got when I moved there. About 5 or 6 years ago, is this is a place where this music, it's not just being preserved from a historical point of view, but it's actually being reinvented here every day. And even in the case of the players who are preserving historic forms, you still get a sense of total vibrance of art. It's not dead. It's very much alive.